close collaboration with HR and all these internal stakeholders, maximum I would say is with HR, is frankly essential to make sure that there is alignment and effectiveness in the communication strategies.
Hello and welcome to Master of Comms, the podcast for transformative communication straight from the pros. Today we're going to be discussing the elephant in every comms room. Who is responsible for internal communication? I'm Krusha Sejwani, your co-host of Master of Comms and Director of Asia at Sociable. And today I'm accompanied by our guest for the day, Nandini Chatterjee, ex-CMO of 21 years of PwC India. Nandini, welcome.
Thanks, Krusha. Thanks a lot for inviting me to your podcast and to a very interesting subject. But first, like you said, a little about me. I have had the privilege of serving as a Chief Marketing and Communications Officer at PwC India now for 21 years. I guess that's quite a long stint. And in my over three decades of experience, I've handled various aspects on corporate branding, reputation management, starting right from what you know as a traditional marketing to digital strategies, media relations, CSR, internal communications. I mean, well, you could say I've done a lot of interesting things. And I've also had the opportunity to do this across many industries, you know, right from PwC, the consulting professional services, to chemicals, electronics, infrastructure, steel. I must add that it's really great to see how organizations are increasingly appreciating the importance of engaging with employees past and present, and in far, far more meaningful ways. And this particular trend, I do feel, has enhanced the role that an internal communication professional can play today or is already playing. They can take the lead in creatively showcasing their company's commitment to employee well-being, both internally and externally.
For sure, Nandini, that's so well put. Firstly, yes, 21 years is a lot, and we're so happy to have all that experience summed up here today. And yeah, you're right. I think internal communication has really come a long way. The fact that we can have an entire discussion today solely around internal communication, as you said, is probably proof of that. You, of course, told us across industries that you've worked in, all the work you've done, but would love to hear a little more about your work. And also, I know you're running your own communications podcast now, so would love to know a little bit about that.
Thank you very much, Krusha, for asking about the podcast I do. Let me first come to my 21 years at PwC. I have had the privilege of actually setting up the communications function here. You know, so what that means is literally handpicking each and every member of the team, right from go.
Wow.
And I literally sowed the seeds for what came to be recognized as the fourth best comms team in India by Reputation Today for two consecutive years. During my tenure, I handled the brand and reputation of PwC in India and in Bangladesh. And my team and I, we were supporting all PwC business verticals for their marketing, their communication strategy, which was aligned with the business key priorities. And in the years here, this for me was a very important piece that I had the opportunity to work with seven PwC India chairmen. I don't know how many people would actually have get an opportunity like this. So I was rolling out their internal and external communication program, and frankly, that has been a fantastic experience. I was also the member of the PwC's Global Network Communication Leadership Team. And that gave me some great insights into global communication strategies. You know, we were developing the strategic global comms plan, which the PwC network countries, and they're like over 150 of them. So these countries then adopted. So I was a member of that core communication team. And coming, of course, to my podcast, my passion project. I started this slightly over a year back, and it's called Comms and Conversations. And I engage in discussions with the senior professionals in marketing, PR, communications, and media. So basically, what I do is that their wealth of experience, their insights, their opinions on topics which are relevant for the marketing communications fraternity. That is what I'm trying to bring out on this.
I'm sure we'll have some people doing that right away. Hopefully after they finish listening to the end of this podcast. So Nandini, let's get started on the topic. So when we speak of internal communication, right, just for our audience, can you help us define it just before we go any further?
See, there is a lot which falls under internal communications, Krisha, frankly. You know, it includes right from comms that is top down, you know, from the leaders to the team, as well as bottoms up, where employees share their feedback, their inputs, their insights up with the leaders. And then you have the horizontal bit, you know, across the organization, people to people, across departments, across teams, you know, so that there is better collaboration, better alignment, etc. And then it's also about engaging employees throughout their life cycle, from pre-hiring to alumni status, you know, so which is why I said it's a huge lot that the internal comms team has a role to play, because they are the central team to bring about consistency in messages across all these lines of communication that I mentioned. Basically, they are there making sure that the messages resonate, that people understand the organization's purpose, the priorities, and that the people also feel aligned with it. They feel engaged with the organization. They feel that they have a voice and it is being heard. And also, another thing you would remember during the COVID times, you know, another very important thing the comms, the internal comms team does is to make sure that the information flow is happening properly, that it is reaching and there is clarity on what is being communicated. That is something we see in situations like COVID, which I just mentioned. This aspect becomes very important. And one more thing. You know, during critical situations, let's say there is a crisis that the organization is facing, then informing people before informing the world is extremely crucial, because they are the best brand advocates that an organization can have. And just making sure that they feel valued, they feel informed, and having them there as brand advocates on the ground is a great thing. I would say that there are a few simple objectives that the internal comms team typically works towards, but a lot goes into making this happen. First and foremost, have they been able to drive people engagement and commitment? Do the employees feel that the company treats them well, and do they feel that they can trust the company? And that itself leads to the next thing, that have they been able to positively impact the employee morale? And then the last one, which is actually the larger bit, that have they been able to positively enhance the overall culture of the organization?
Oh, that sounds like a lot of responsibility. It's a wonder how it wasn't given its due for so long, right? But thank you. Okay. I think that was articulated so well. And that brings me to my question of the day. So with all this heavy responsibility, who is ideally responsible for internal communication?
That's a dollar question. Let's try and break it down. So, you know, if you look at the two terms, internal communication, and let's just take from there. Okay, let's look at the second one, which second word, the communication. And it's clear that it requires experts in communication strategies and techniques. It basically requires a team that has this refined skill set. You know, so their function is not HR or change management or training or development. No, they're communication professionals.
Correct.
They understand how to use the power of communication, how to converse, how to engage. So I do believe it has to be led by a communication expert. But let's look at the first word, internal. Okay. It's important to acknowledge that there are diverse internal stakeholders. There's a whole lot of them, right from the chairman of your organization to other leaders to staff, and I even spoke of the alumni. So the internal comms team serves as a central link to, frankly, all of them, collaborating with all of them across different levels and functions across the organization, with focus on those three objectives that I spoke about. You know, so one, this internal stakeholder overlaps. You know, there is one internal stakeholder. So there is one crucial internal stakeholder that overlaps with the objectives of the internal communication team. And that is the HR team. And I think that is why probably where your question also came from. But given the focus on employee engagement, on morale, organization culture, I think it's important that HR and internal comms teams must work closely together to achieve what I would say are actually shared goals and shared objectives. While internal comms should be led by a communication expert, close collaboration with HR and all these internal stakeholders, maximum I would say is with HR, is frankly essential to make sure that there is alignment and effectiveness in the communication strategies.
I think that was very well said, Nandini. And that's probably the closest I've got to a direct answer for this question. So I'm really happy with that. That it's, as you said, very nicely said as well, internal comms. So an internal stakeholder like HR and the comms team. That's lovely. If I had to go one step further, right? Now you have your team who is managing internal communication and everyone reports to someone. So what would that, in your opinion, be the ideal scenario? Who, the people responsible for internal comms, who are they reporting to?
I think, Krusha, that would depend on a lot of things. One is the size of the organization. Then probably the degree of focus on engaging with people in the organization to even the leadership structure. So for example, if I look at PwC, now I had a person who was leading internal comms who then rolled into me as the marketing communication lead. And this internal comms leader also partnered with the external comms teams. And this partnership ensured that there is alignment between the internal and external messaging, especially regarding the organization's culture and reputation. In a smaller organization, the internal comms person just might be reporting directly to a chairman, translating the chairman's vision across the organization. So I believe, and I also believe that in some organizations, the internal comms person does report to HR. Okay, but for this working to be effective, the HR leader should be a great communicator. You know, someone who really understands the nuances of communication. And then who would need to collaborate with the external comms functions so that there is overall alignment in the messaging that go out, whether it's internally or externally. You know, so to my mind, the key is to ensure that the internal comms function has a reporting structure that allows or let's say that enables seamless collaboration with other departments so that the overall organization goals and objectives can be met effectively.
No, that makes complete sense that it would be a little custom basis, the size and other other nuances. That makes sense. Yeah. Would you, so you were kind enough, Nandini, to give us an example of how this worked at PwC for you all, for example. But when you were figuring these dynamics of this responsibility of internal comms, were there particular challenges that did come up?
Yeah. Okay, let me talk about two. There are a multitude of challenges, but let me just focus on two things. One, the bit about responsibility.
Right.
So the collaboration, which we just spoke about between HR and the internal comm leaders, is crucial for smooth internal communications, right? So when both the parties are appreciating each other's roles, both work together seamlessly, then usually there are no issues. However, challenges may arise because of a lot of internal factors, you know. So for example, let me give you some actual things which might happen on the ground. For example, if expectations are not clear or there is a lack of briefing or a communication handover from an internal department, the stakeholder to the internal comms, the bait and handing is not done properly, then the results are not going to be effective enough. And I've seen instances where a department hands over, let's say, a PowerPoint. And then they ask the internal comms team to understand everything at their end. So there is no briefing. You call out the objectives, the messages, the narratives, develop the comms. Now, this kind of a thing can lead to pretty ineffective results. You know, it's I would say that internal comms support internal stakeholders, the internal teams and delivering the messages. So it's essential that both of them need to come together. They need to work jointly on right from strategy to execution. It's not like you just handed over and said, okay, now you figure out everything at your end. It really doesn't work that way. And the second thing is the receptivity to the suggestions by the internal comms team. So see, the internal comms team brings expertise in communication, but there could be instances where the internal stakeholders believe that they know best. And you know, this one, frankly, can be a tough one to navigate initially. But over time, and I've seen over time, once the trust is built, it becomes easier. And sometimes this trust can get built by just showcasing some of the successful outcomes of past campaigns that have been done by the internal comms team. So I feel that if you have a skilled comms, internal comms team lead, you know, this is one person who can navigate these internal minefields well and build trust quickly, you know, trust on the advice, build the internal appreciation of the value that the team brings to the table. Make sure that people appreciate the importance of good briefing and actually co-piloting the entire thing.
We spoke a lot, Nandini, of the internal stakeholders, right? Like right now. I would just want to understand, when it comes to internal comms, where do you stand on what parts should be outsourced or can be outsourced or delegated, whether it's to external vendors or technically or agencies? Where do you stand on that?
See, I think there are many aspects of internal comms that can benefit from outsourcing or just delegating it to external vendors or agencies. Right from employee surveys, which can be managed effectively by third-party firms. They have experience in survey designs. The analysis can be good. That can provide some great insights to the internal teams. Also, having an agency for the strategy development and communication delivery can be a good support, because with the kind of experience they have, they can bring in fresh perspectives. Their knowledge, they work with a lot of companies. So at times you'll find that they can identify areas which could be a blind spot for the internal teams. And while I know I like to typically have campaign design done internally, I feel the team understands brand guidelines, the turnaround is pretty good. But you know, for some projects, it can help to outsource. And I'll give you an example of a project that I outsourced. You know, if I was working on, I wanted to have a compelling film to amplify the EVP, the employee value proposition of the company. And, you know, this is the kind of film which would typically have a long shelf life, a large audience. And so it was worth investing. Mm. So there I went in and got in an agency, a specialized agency, external agency, which had specialized skills and resources to actually work with us on various ways that we could be putting across the EVP and finally deliver a high quality product. My suggestion would be that one should look at using external expertise strategically. You know, see if having a third party can improve the effectiveness and the impact.
Correct. I think what you said was very well said, in the sense that it's about seeing, is there a true value add, right? Is it worth the investment in terms of, is it a blind spot internally and it's better externally? Or is it something that doesn't make sense to invest in internally and it's actually, you know, more reasonable even to do this externally?
Yeah.
Makes sense. I think something else I wanted to understand, Nandini, is once we've done all this, right, we've spoken about who's responsible, we've spoken about how we can organize ourselves, the challenges, all of that. When it comes to now seeing where you stand, like, are you doing well? Are you not doing well? Is this being distributed responsibly? How do you know whether your internal comms is even working well or not?
Yeah. Measuring effectiveness of internal comms is a challenge that many teams face. Unlike external communication, and now with a lot which is on digital, that team has a lot of clear data points for measuring the campaign effectiveness. But in internal communication, metrics can be more limited. So one may track metrics like email open rates or even attendance or engagement or intranet posts. But the objectives, you know, the three objectives that I spoke about earlier, evaluating the impact on the morale, the organization culture, can be more complex. So what we did at PwC, I mean, one thing that I could share was that we used multiple employee surveys. And there was a global one each year. And that particular survey had a lot of cuts, you know. So it had a country cut, it had a business-wise cut, it even had my own, you know, various team-wise cuts. In the team-wise cut, I, as a team lead, I could see data points of my team vis-a-vis, say, that of in other internal service teams like, say, HR or finance or IT. I could even see it vis-a-vis overall PwC India. And I could look at data on various people aspects. What that means is that there were questions which were addressing aspects or indicative of aspects like morale, culture, and some of the other softer things. So I could see if there was progression happening or not, or was it otherwise. This survey also had a leg of anonymous qualitative candid feedback, and that helped in understanding the underlying issues, if there were any, within each team. You know, so you could see what was being said by team members as an anonymous input that came to you, which I thought was a very good way to go about things.
Definitely. I think anonymization of surveys is very useful today. We see that too. And in terms of having data, as you said, it's about having access to data and then also what you do with that data. As you said, it doesn't stop there. So I think that's good insight. There's so much you've shared with us and there's so much more I want to ask. But if I had to put you on the spot, we have a lot of comms professionals listening in. And I think a lot of people who take care of internal communication. And if you had to sum up this topic for them with three key recommendations, you know, if when they are tackling the question of who is responsible for internal communication, what would be your three key recommendations?
Okay. So I think the first and the most important, the vital one, I would say, is establish clear roles and responsibilities. You know, have a structured discussion with your stakeholder teams. Define upfront these roles, because doing that can prevent conflicts and it can make sure that everyone understands what their contributions are to be. The second I would say is that it's important to build a culture of collaboration, you know, a culture of wanting to help your stakeholders achieve their communication objectives, the internal comms team itself. It's very, very important. And this is something that the team lead needs to be looking at. Because when the teams, you know, all these multiple teams, they work, if they work cohesively, and if they can celebrate the successes together, it's a reward sharing of positive outcomes that is there. It strengthens the bond. And once again, that trust, which is very important for these teams to work effectively, it gets built. And the third one I would say is invest in technology, invest in tools which streamline the internal communication process. Tools can empower the internal stakeholders to manage certain communications at their end independently, a lot of repetitive tasks. The communications team doesn't need to be spending time doing that over and over again for everybody. So just put it all there, templatize it, make it available on tools, guide people through whatever intranet or processes you have so that they know that this is what is available for them. It'll overall improve efficiency. Believe me, it'll improve productivity. And also, I feel that the foundation that I talked about for effective internal communication, which is sharing information. If you have tools that are there and you are using good technology, it can actually bring about better information sharing. So I think these are the three things I would say pretty important.
I couldn't agree more. I think they were so well put that I want to leave it untouched. And I'm sure people are making notes or should be making notes. I think that really brings us to the end almost of our podcast. As I said right at the beginning, I knew no minutes would be enough and I hope we can have this conversation again. But until then, there's one final question, which is not comms related, that I like asking all our guests. So would you mind sharing with us either the title of a book or a film that had a significant impact on you recently?
So there is Harsh Pamnani. He's a dear friend of mine and I've actually done two episodes of my podcast Comms and Conversations with him on influencer marketing. He has written a book, this is called Booming Digital Brands. And in this book, he's captured the inspiring journey of 11 prominent influencers, you know. So right from Bhuvan Bam to Prajakta Kohli to Ranveer Ala Badia and more. I mean, 11 of them. And he's dedicated a chapter to each of them. And he's talked about the unique ways that each have used digital platforms, how they achieved popularity, how they built their personal brands, and they became the influencers that they are today. And at the end of each chapter, he also captures the advice of that particular influencer. So in today's age of the creator economy, where individuals are using content and are building a niche for themselves, how to find a community who wants to hear the content that they want to put out. I think that entire thing, if one goes through this particular book, you'll find it's a very interesting and inspiring read. And it's all about the power of effective communication. It's about communication that has resonated for these people to such an extent with their audience that they went and became the influencers that they are today. So I would definitely suggest picking up this book.
I think if there was a pitch for the book, this was it. As someone who creates content as well, I'm intrigued myself and I've definitely made a note. also sounds like a fellow Sindhi, so I have some bias there. Thank you so much for joining us and for giving us all your gems today. It was an absolutely lovely chat.
Thanks a lot, Krusha, for inviting me. Lovely talking to you.
This was Master of Comms, the podcast for transformative communication, straight from the pros. Find us here for the next episode. See you soon.